listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are viewer-supported stations, folks, so if you like what people are trying to bring you for content and what we're trying to do with these stations, I know times are a little bit tough right now, but if you can reach into your pocket and throw a few bucks into the kitties, I know that the people running the stations would much appreciate it. And always a big thanks to Steve Roberts for putting up with me every week and producing my shows. I'm joined today by Wayne Peters and Derek Story, Noble Savages and What's Up Canada. And these two gentlemen are very, very active in Canada right now, trying to wake people to what's going on with the insanity in our country. And last time I had these two gentlemen on, we really had a good conversation. So I'm looking forward to this one. Thanks for joining me today, guys. And as I've said before, I like to start my conversations off with your pet peeve of the week. So I'm going to start with Wayne, and I'm going to ask him what's his pet peeve of the week, and then I'm going to pass the talking stick over to Derek. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you very much for having us on again, Barry. It's always a pleasure to talk to people that are inspired and motivated to do what's right, not what's easy. And that's what makes the difference in the world going forward. If we want to see change, we have to be change. Now, my pet peeve of the week, I'm going to start off with a little bit of a bit of an insider joke. And moving forward in life, when are single people out there that are trying to navigate the world in this pandemic, when are you going to be ready to add your vaxxed status to your dating profile? It's going to be a qualifier in the coming days if we accept the new normal, right?
Well, I hope not. But we seem to be definitely going in that direction.
So that's kind of where my brain is at moving forward.
I've got my certificate,
right? Am I going to be safe to date if I say no to the mandatory vaccines?
Good question, Wayne. Hey Barry, how's it going?
Good, Derek.
My biggest pet peeve, I've been I haven't really watched the news or anything, but every morning the propaganda news channels on the CP24 and the United Nations is really pushing hard to dissolve our human rights as Canadians, and that's really my big pet peeve right now.
Well, you know, that's been going on for a while now, Derek, but now we really see it in our faces.
Oh yeah, it stands out like a sore thumb. It's right out there.
You know, the sad thing about that, though, really, is a lot of Canadians yet don't see that agenda being played out in our society. Unfortunately, the mainstream media doesn't do us any justice in how they portray the United Nations or what they're trying to do in this country and some of the going-ons behind the scenes, how the United Nations is involved with the World Health Organization, how the World Health Organization is a total communist organization that's telling us how to handle a pandemic that is absolutely destroying our society right now. I mean, there's a lot of rabbit holes when we start talking about the United Nations. And they're not a good word.
The interesting part of this all is that this entire lockdown charade has created a captive audience for anybody that's asking questions. They've got time on their hands, and the resources are coming to light, and the truth is coming to light. So it can't be denied, and sooner or later, the train of truth is going to collide with the train of the WHO, because there's no truth in it. It is 100% a communist organization attempting the largest hostile takeover in human history on a global scale. And our mainstream media are, we know they're accomplices to this infiltration and this crime. Too many people are giving them excuse and license and leeway, saying they're just pawns or just tools. The fact is, they are selling their souls, and there's going to come a point in history, whether it's not just in Canada, this is happening on a global scale, where they're going to have to decide which side of history they're going to be on, and there's going to be a price to pay consequences for these decisions.
I hope we see a lynch mob walking into CBC one day and doing to these people what needs to be done to traitors. I mean, treason is punishable by hanging, buddy. I think we should bring that law back into Canada, because we have so many acts of treason being perpetrated on us on a daily basis that maybe if we hung a few of these people might think about this a little bit differently.
Well, it'd definitely straighten out our government, that's for sure.
Wouldn't it? I mean, you really think about it. You know, I mean, I'm not a traitor to the country, so I don't have anything to worry about. But anybody that's contemplating treasonous acts or is involved in that right now are going to think twice. Well, but unfortunately, we don't have that kind of system in Canada. We have two laws in Canada, one for us and one for the chosen few.
Here's the sad reality of that, though, is you say that with absolute conviction in your heart, and I say the same thing, and so does Derek. But when we look at the coming rule of law, we are now the traitors guilty of treason.
We are in a police state in Canada right now. Well, we're in a police state. We're in a full-blown police state right now, and people don't see it. Because it's got lipstick on it still. The lipstick's going to be off.
Do we remember who it was in Canada that got rid of capital punishment?
That would have been Diefenbaker, I believe.
I'm thinking it was right around Pierre's time, was it not? Which would explain.
I could Google that and find out, but I don't have it off the tip.
I pose this question to the audience, to the world too. Take a look at some of these things, right? These people that have been manipulating our system. This is where we're at now. It didn't just happen overnight. It didn't just happen with Junior. This has been a long succession of crimes against the people that by others that have sold their souls or a portion of it for a few shillings. And now we've gotten to the point where that cannot continue in the eyes of the people. And this happens every few millennia on Earth. And I think this is the opportunity of the people again in history to set things straight, as happens from time to time.
Well, we could see that across Canada, everywhere. Everybody's starting to stand out. Quebec was out today. We were out in Toronto yesterday. Vancouver was out. Calgary was out. I seen Saskatoon was out. So people are ready for this.
The biggest obstacle we face right now, of course, is the mainstream media, that a good percentage of our population still goes home at the end of the day, turns on CBC and drinks the Kool-Aid. Yeah. And figures that's what's happening in our world right now. Until we can break that paradigm and get people away from mainstream, because you know and I know that all mainstream media is controlled by about 8 families here in the world today. Mm-hmm. They control every aspect of everything that anybody ever hears on mainstream media. That being said, what chance do we have for real journalism in Canada? We don't.
I would challenge that to take it a step further, in that it's fear. It's fear that is dictating everybody's lives and the control, be it the fear of the bug, the fear of persecution from our government for saying anything contrary, including any almost – 100% of the mainstream media and a large portion of the second tier in the alternative media. I mean, there are even subjects we cannot discuss that are truthful because it's automatic suicide for us, right? So it's the fear of that. Any individual that speaks out contrary or questions the narrative being stuffed down our throat is automatically swarmed on by hives of paid propagandists or digital stormtroopers under these false NGO controls that dictate and control everything from the puppet politicians that are either blackmailed or bribed to the mainstream media corporations to the law firms, right to the higher tiers of government and control. Fear dictates our lives and how we respond to it at this point.
Well, the good news in Canada is now we get to hear the call to prayer in the morning outside mosques.
Oh, now you're trying to
get started. I mean, that really made my day when I heard that, man. Wow, what a great society this is when Islam is raised to a pedestal and allowed to have the call to prayer going out of their mosques at volumes of, volumes that would get us put in jail immediately, and our so-called elected officials are allowing this to go on. What a pile of crap that is, guys. Unbelievable. If that doesn't wake Canadians up, I don't know what to say.
With this virus, it was kind of sad that, you know, not even Christians can get together in their cars and do service, but they can get together and have a call to prayer, you know.
They're still having meetings in their mosques, and the government and the police are just looking the other way. This standard is so in our face. Why aren't Canadians out there screaming at the top of their lungs? Where these guys are allowed to get together and have their church meetings. Our Christian church meetings are shut down. We're persecuted and put in jail if we do. And they're allowed to have this call to prayer blasted out of loudspeakers, out of their mosque. You know, this is beyond insanity, folks. This is Canada. This is not Islam. We don't confine. We don't condone. We don't go by your cultures in Canada. We have cultures in Canada that have been here for years and years and decades, and that's what we live by. And all of a sudden, we see this stuff going on in society. This drives me nuts. Why aren't people screaming? I don't get it.
I know, right?
I don't get it. I really don't. Is it just me or what?
this whole thing is a timing thing. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Right. This is exactly what our infiltrators are doing, and where they have got us to the point where we're too scared and afraid to speak out about anything. This is now another tier and level of absolute psychological terrorism. That's exactly what this is. If you look at any terrorist handbook, what do? They lock you in the dark and they pump horrible music to you 24 hours a day, right? Because it affects our psyche. And here in a nation that all their number one intent is to break the word of God and the word of law in our nation, which is where our Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And let me read this right from the script to remind people where we are failing. Whereas Canada is founded upon principles that recognize the supremacy of God and the rule of law, these guys are breaking everything that is righteous and rightful and our freedom of our nation in Canada. They are smashing it. And the next thing is, mothers, if you've got daughters, you better start shopping for burqas and hijabs, because soon this is the next step. When Christian preachers are getting arrested for walking down the street or getting beat down in parks by hundreds of anti-procreation mobs, let me just say that so that I don't get crucified for it. Mm-hmm. This is where we're at. Like,
we got people being pulled out of their houses in Canada.
Yeah.
By police. And now we got roadblocks being set up across the country. COVID-19 roadblocks. Checkpoints. I mean, we're in Nazi Germany, 1937, guys.
Or 1984.
How often do we see a cop anymore that doesn't look like he's a
go to war.
Militarized police force. What on earth does any Canadian cities need with tanks? Why do police need tanks against the civilians of our population now?
They've rolled them out in every city in Canada.
Everyone.
Yep.
Every one of them has bulletproof armor vehicles ready to go to war. Well, that's not for riot control, guys. That's not a SWAT team. That's right? For war against your citizens, and it's in your face.
Why, if you get pulled over for a routine check stop at this point, do we have guys with assault rifles and tactical armor dealing with this stuff?
I know. Fear, buddy. It's called the virus of fear.
Well, that's exactly the one
thing that plagues our society, and it controls society. We've seen what it did with COVID-19 when the World Health Organization came out, declared this a worldwide pandemic, everybody just about fell over. They ran into their houses and they just hid under their couches in fear. They fell for it. They drank the Kool-Aid. Yeah. But people don't take 10 minutes to go and look at who's running the World Health Organization. If you want to destroy a country, you don't need an army, man. You don't. And China is proving that over and over again.
Absolutely. I mean,
you know, look at every aspect of how we're tied into China now. If that doesn't drive people crazy, they're making our prescription drugs. They're rolling out 5G. Coronavirus, where'd that come from? Well, we know. We know that that lab is being supported by the Canadian government, that Fauci in the States bypassed legislation in the States to give them funding. I mean, if you follow the money and follow the trails, this whole situation just stinks to high heaven. But normal people, they go home and they listen to CBC. We've got to break that, man. We really do. We've got to get this information out to the public. That's why shows like this are really, really important. Go ahead.
Well, people have to understand that the globalists are using this pandemic, this virus, to beat us down into slaves where they want us, you know, where we obey and suffer, you know, and we're already suffering. Like, me and Wayne just came back from Alberta, and Wayne can tell you about Drayton Valley because he grew up there.
I didn't grow up there, but I spent 10 years in one of the fastest growing communities in Alberta. And after going back here in a few short years, driving through there a couple of weeks ago now, there was hotels boarded up along Main Street, homes abandoned. They don't even bother to put for sale signs on them because the entire newspaper front to back is nothing but for sale signs, and there is nobody to buy. Gas plants shut down, lockdown that will take months if and when they ever reopen. And that would take months to get back online. So this entire thing has been orchestrated for a very, very long time to put us in this destabilized position where we are in fear of everything and every blade of grass. You step out your door, your neighbors are reporting you. And yet none of it, when you start to look at the facts, the math, the numbers, none of it is can corroborate what they're forcing onto us. There's going to be shortages that are absolutely unfathomable to Canadians, because the only time we ever saw this stuff was in a World War II history novel or a Russian history novel. That's the only place that we've ever seen this stuff before. So Canadians haven't even got begun to understand the power that's being leveraged against them. And the biggest mistake that we're making is we are not adjusting and evolving our definition of war. We only think of war as storming the beaches of Normandy, when in actual fact, we are in the greatest war of our lives right now, because that war is digital, it is economical, it is sociological. They are attacking us at every level because they don't have to shoot at us to beat us now.
Absolutely. That's what I was saying. You don't need an army to defeat a country. And China is setting a perfect example of that to the rest of the world. Yet the common person still doesn't see it, Wayne, because it hasn't greatly affected their life yet. But
I think
we're seeing a change now. We're starting to see a change now where this economy that we're dealing with, well, it's going to really have a trickle-down effect here in the next couple, 3 months. People are going to really start seeing what's going on. But, of course, everybody's going, Yahoo, Yahoo, we're getting free money from Trudeau. I got my $2,000 check. Well, people got to realize that every check that you take from the government gives them a little bit more power over the people. That what we're setting up is a tyrannical government where the public is going to be conditioned to depend on the government to take care of them during these tough economic times. And if these tough economic times continue, they think the government will be there to bail them out. Well, this is a bubble, and the bubble isn't going to last forever. It's going to burst. And the trickle-down effect on society is just going to blow people's minds. Blow people's minds. They don't see that coming when they think this is all a joke. Some of them do. And to get through them, it's a tough thing to do. But I see we're making headway. I really do.
We've made an astronomical amount of headway in the last 2 months, I would say. And the thing that we're not maybe – because we're so focused and intent on the fires that we're fighting right in front of our face, we have to take a pause sometimes and do an inventory check. And what I mean by that is when we take a look at what happened last year with that convoy that went across the country, there was only 300 people that were involved in that basically that made the trip. But there were millions that watched all over the world. And there was tens of thousands that came out and supported this convoy, which means there are people that are awake. They are lit. They are aware. Even if they don't know all of the facts, they know that our junk is seriously broken. They are looking at everything, and they are trying to be good citizens and play within the rules and boundaries that we've been cornered into, and thinking, well, if we vote this way or we vote that way, and this thinking has to be abandoned, because we can no longer vote our way out of this. If that isn't abundantly clear at this point, this is a major problem that we have to overcome, is we cannot vote our way out of communism. Communism is here. The question is how long we will stand for the implementation of it. Can we stop it before it's completely implemented? And that's a choice that people are going to have to make on their own. And I think that we're seeing a shift. People are awake. They were silent. People are asking now more about what can we do. Yeah. They know it's broken. What can we do?
I hear it all the time. I have people stating to me all the time that, you know, I know there's some really nefarious stuff going on in our government, but what am I going to do about it? I'm just one person. Well, you got a lot more power than you realize, folks. You do. And all we got to do is reach out and embrace that. That Absolutely. Fear, I keep getting back to the biggest weapon that society, that these people behind the curtains, I'll call them that, are using against society is the fear virus. The biggest virus we have in society, where society is at a point now, in Canada especially, that people are scared to speak out because they're either going to get fired or they're going to get arrested. We're at a point now that if we don't stand up en masse against this, it's going to have so much power, it's gaining power every day, that the window of opportunity to stop it, I honestly believe, will come. But we still have that window right now. So this is a time where I see people all of a sudden want to engage in conversation. People are more open now to stuff that they've never even contemplated in their life, of how evil the forces are that we're working against. They're actually starting to embrace those, even though it makes them feel uncomfortable. I got a couple examples of a guy here. He's just going, you know, he's talking to me now. He's going, you know, I'm going home and looking at some of this stuff on the internet. He says, these people are lunatics. You know, these are guys that didn't really look at this a little while ago. So it is really having an effect on waking people up. That's the one encouraging thing I see happening right now, and I see it accelerating. But we really right now got to put our foot right to the floor, guys, because I believe they're going to really try and shut the internet down. That's the next step. They know they got to silence us. They know that people are waking up. They're monitoring everything that's going on. They're listening. We should invite them to this. I should make a point of starting my shows off, you know, inviting them to the show, because we know they're listening to this conversation right now. Either right. CSIS or the FBI or some agency in government is monitoring the show right now. So whoever's listening in, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
I should make a point, because we know they're there. You know what? Maybe these guys that are listening in on our conversation, maybe we'll have an influence on their thinking. Maybe they'll start going, hey, you know, these guys are actually making some sense. Maybe I'm a pawn. Maybe I'm just a pawn one step up the ladder, and that's all you are. Yeah. You folks that are listening in right now, that's all you are. Because when the time comes, they're gonna quash you just a little bit later than us. But you're not invited to the big party, period.
You know what the greatest antidote to fear is?
Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Courage. Eliminates all fear.
Courage. Courage is a very strong antidote, and it's really easy to embrace, too. You just have to take that step. That's all you got to do to embrace that.
Well, a lot of people in Canada, I see a lot of Canadians that don't have that. Wayne, I ask myself, where are the Canadians with blood coursing through their brains that was put there by our forefathers that went and died to have what we have right now? And we're giving it away. They're turning in our graves right now. I say to people that this isn't an obligation. It's an absolute duty to your country right now. If we see evil coming, that we've got to stop it.
You know what it is? I personally,
what is it? I'd like to know, man. I don't got that part figured out, because I see it, because it's right in our face, man.
Intelligence. We are a smart nation, and we're not going to do stupid stuff. And when we see other people getting hammered, we sit back and watch, and we wait, and we look for that window of something that makes sense to us that is worth taking the risk for. This is the thing that keeps me inspired and going, because I know I've talked to tens of thousands of Canadians from coast to coast, and they're awake, they're lit, but they're not sticking their neck out yet because they haven't got that thing that they see Canadians can and will understand enough to collectively come together on. I'm not going to say unite on, because that's too strong of a word. It actually is, because when you are uniting on something, it means you're putting something else secondary, right? So we have to look at it a little bit differently. And what can we collectively do that we don't have to negate anything else we're sworn to or that we believe in, but what can we collectively do together to oppose this? And this is where I think that we're coming to the point here now where we have to start to understand the difference of education and versus training for action. And we've been very, very strongly trying to educate, and we've gotten enough people out there, I believe, that are educated, but they're silent. They're waiting for that training for action. And this boils down to something that I was talking about on the show the other day that fired you up, and I wasn't offline for more than 10 seconds and you called, and it's about the jurisdiction. Yeah. Right? There are all kinds of examples out there in the rest of the world of how to stop this. And we just haven't engaged in the right methodology yet, with the right tactics and collectively with the right power to do the things we need to do. And this is where I think this is where the shift needs to go from, okay, we know everything's broken. Stop trying to teach me about every little brick and nook and cranny in this giant megastructure. How can we turn the power off? Hmm. And that, again, boils down to jurisdiction. When we're too busy talking to our municipal representatives, they have no control or power or jurisdiction over making the change we want to see. We talk to our provincial legislators, they don't really have any power, and they're basically answering to the same master as the federal level. So we have to reach a collective action of going to a higher jurisdiction. And this is a little bit tough for people to wrap their brains around.
It's
understanding this, that everybody and every country in this world still has jurisdictions within their own nation, but they are part of a larger collective. And as much as it makes me cringe to even mention those two letters, the United Nations, but the United Nations also has a set of laws and systems that they must comply to within their own agency. They have a legal agency of their own, right? That their nations within that organization must comply to. And this is how other nations, when Trudeau signed that migration compact, we got no say, none whatsoever. But other nations completely backed out of it by stating one simple sentence. This threat does not comply with our future of self-determination or our sovereignty. That's under Article 2 and Article 7 of the UN Human Rights Declaration. So within their own laws, they have given us what we need to tell them to go pound sand. Trudeau is never going to do that. Our Conservative Party is never going to do that because they're a part of it. They wrote the Paris Accord. Harper is as guilty as Trudeau is when it comes to all of this junk. And nobody that's within that current system is going to change that, because they've all sworn oaths to that same system. So they fall under the rules of the jurisdiction of their masters. So they will not do that. So this is where it becomes up to the people to exert enough resistance and pressure to demand this change. We have this power in the court of public opinion. We can do this if we choose to do this, and they cannot stop this. So now, this is not asking them for permission. This is not being compliant to our party status. This has to be from a national level, from an individual level, taking responsibility for our roles in this nation. If we choose to have the choice of future self-determination, we have to demand this And I see all kinds of groups, whether they realize it or not, are coming together to understand an action is required, an intervention is way overdue, but they don't exactly know how. Well, this is a path forward that I'm going to – tomorrow I've got something special planned to help people with this, to deliver this message of understanding and action. But this is where I see our way out, is through jurisdiction and understanding it.
Well, I see millions of Canadians right now at the breaking point, and they're looking for a mechanism to stop the insanity in our country. When you talked about this the other day, Wayne, it really sparked interest. To me, it sounds like something that we can all get involved in, no matter what your religion or what your political stance is. If we want to stop the insanity in this country, we have to unify under one common issue. And this sounds like it could be it. So I'm going to support it, and I'm talking about it. I'm talking to other people about this already. I think it's something that we could embrace and actually make a change. We have to do something. And like you said, mainstream politicians in this country are all on board with the United Nations agenda. Even though they don't appear to be on the outside, we can talk about any of the political parties right now. Just the fact that the Conservative Party in Canada still supports the Paris Climate Accord tells you exactly what that party is all about. They might say they're not on board with the UN agenda, but they're just another head on the snake is what they are. We're not going to get changed through the political system or the political parties in Canada. We have to go a different route. And this sounds like a very logical route. What do you think about it, Derek? Got to get you in here for a few comments, buddy. You're sitting there.
Well, I think people have to realize, the connections to the different political programs and stuff like that for sure, because the politics has turned into a smokescreen for globalists. So no matter – stands and represents it is still holding that idea of a one world government, and we cannot have that. I don't consent to it. I hope you don't.
Well, I don't think any Canadian would if they really knew what was going on. I keep saying that. I don't think Canadians understand the danger that the country's in right now because of course the power of mainstream media.
Well, did you see the big controversy now with the Jason Kenney now, that the China's really giving them a hard time because of those two pandas that are in the Calgary zoo?
No, I didn't see that. I haven't seen that one yet. What's going on now with that? There's a million stories every day hitting the feeds here. I haven't seen that one yet, but nothing would surprise me. So fill me in.
It's beyond ludicrous where people don't really understand the control that China has and exerts. They literally own every panda in the world. You can't own a panda. We send millions of dollars to China to have their two pandas in our zoo here. And now, because of Trudeau thanking Taiwan for their masks, the Chinese government has demanded their pandas back. And they're not sending food over anymore for the pandas, and the bamboo that we get in Vancouver is too costly to ship to Calgary twice a week to feed the pandas. So they're going to starve their pandas to death here in Canada until Jason Kenney sends them back.
Well, I think this should be the conversation every dinner table in Canada. What a great distraction, eh?
Right? I just thought I had to bring that up.
These guys really are the masters of distraction. They pull out the panda routine, and that's going to tug at our string, at our heart for a little bit. We'll forget all about the destruction of the family businesses and the millions of Canadians right now that are pulling their hairs out.
Meanwhile, we've got two Canadians being held for more than 500 days as hostages in China. I demand we...
Don't worry about those guys. They're nothing.
Right. Right. So, Rebel did a piece on this the other day where Kian was talking about, let's do a prisoner swap then, because if your pandas are so valuable, what about our Canadians?
Two pandas, two Canadians. That sounds like a good deal.
I think right? It's a good deal.
Well, we're not going to get anything done about it. And we all know that Trudeau just worships China, man.
And this is the thing.
We're heading right there. We're going to be in the biggest surveillance states in the world in a couple of years, man.
Our federal leadership is completely cowed to them, that they are so emboldened that they will now attack provincial level and municipal levels to demand compliance and control and bowing to that Chinese CCP state. Right. This is how people don't see how deep this infiltration is. What would happen if this was 1942 Germany and they said, "You've got two of our cows. We want them back." Right. I hear you laughing there, because this is exactly how ludicrous things have come. And the byproduct of this that is completely sailing over everybody's head is now we are legitimately a threat and an enemy of the United States of America.
We are. We pose a big threat to Donald Trump, and he knows it.
The big backyard.
If people don't think that the United States of America isn't watching what's going on inside our government, isn't fully aware of the agenda being played out in the Canadian people, we having a 5,000 or 6,000 mile unprotected border with the United States of America, we represent a threat now to him, and he is paying attention. I just hope if it gets to a point where Canadian people are turned on and actually shot on by the powers to be, that the United States of America would intervene. And I honestly believe they would. I don't know what you think about that, but I honestly think they would. What do you think?
I can honestly tell you, I cannot share the pictures because of disclosure and security reasons. I was asked not to, but there is literally mobile mounted 88 millimeter artillery pointed at the Canadian border from the American side of the border. They would not do that if they did not consider this being an actual factor. They are not dumb. And this is something that we need to consider and think about for a second, even just in the last couple of years. Every major terrorist event that has been averted in Canada has been because the United States told us it was happening.
Exactly. Every
incident of arrest is not because our police are doing their job. It's because Americans have intervened and said, "Hey, get off your asses, put your donuts down, and go look after this." Even in the Nova Scotia event that just happened here, how is it that Americans in the province all got a warning and no Canadians got a warning? Anybody that doesn't believe that Trump is on top of what is happening in Canada is delusional. And this is where he cannot intervene in sovereign nation of Canada, because that would make him look like a bad guy to the globalists and they would crucify him. We need to have a little bit of faith, and our men need to take their dangly bits out of their wives' purses and stand up and know that Trump has our backs, regardless of this infiltrated government.
I would agree with a lot of what you just said, because I talked to a couple of people down in the States on a regular basis, and, you know, those sentiments were expressed to me almost identically to a friend that I listened to a lot down in the States. And, you know, we are a threat right now to the United States of America. Trump is fully aware of what's going on in Canada. He knows that the Canadian government, for one, is supporting sleeper cells right now in Canada. And if you don't think, if this sounds far-fetched to you guys, or people that are listening, it's not. That sleeper cells are being supported by this government in Canada. That's a fact. And then now the government wants to take our guns away. Well, these groups that are being protected by the government are given access to toys that would just boggle our mind. I honestly believe that. And I've had information passed to me along those lines from reputable sources. It sounds far-fetched, but really, you know, it all comes down to one word. One word is social discourse. And if all of a sudden society starts to go crazy and these guys are given the word go, they're going to turn on the Canadian people. And there's those cells sitting right now in Canada. This government, there's nothing off the table that is out of Trudeau's playbook, okay? Because people got to realize that we're dealing with a very evil, evil psychopath that is just on the purse strings of George Soros, that he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do, and he is a master at dividing society. But it all comes down to the Communist Manifesto, guys. You got to go read it, and I have, and it's right in the playbook.
The thing that we have to be aware of is that these guys are devious and nefarious, and this is a generations-long investment for them. And what we have to be careful of is I'm not sure if you're aware of a document that came out in 2010, a Rockefeller report, and there's a section in there called lockstep. And this is where all of this militarized police force, these armored cars in our civilian population, in our police forces, everything is happening for a reason. We are being led to this violent revolt because that is what they need from us to quell us, to silence us. They need us to rise in violence. We cannot give them that. We must rise in peace and love and unity, not in violence. We cannot allow the left to instigate, to goad us into violence. We are seeing organizations like Antifa right now are very quiet because they are going to allow us to build up so that when they do show up, that there is going to be somebody in our crowd on our side of the fence that's going to get triggered, that is going to be the shot heard around the world or around the country, because that is going to justify the actions of this enforcement, the action that they want to put us under. So this is the number one thing, that we cannot fall into their trap. We cannot give them violence. We must, every one of us, have the courage of that man standing in front of that tank at Tiananmen Square that day. But we need a million people to stand with that kind of courage and know that if we do that, they cannot stop us. If we go out in 50, they will stop us. If we go out and show even a temptation of violence, they will stop us, and our opportunity will be gone.
Absolutely, man. I couldn't agree with you more in the whole world with what you just said right now, Wayne, because in my shows in the last 2-3 years, I basically have said exactly what you have said here in the last couple of minutes, that we cannot go to an armed confrontation against the government. That is where they're goading society right now. That's where
they're expecting it.
But well, you know what? One thing I talk about, Wayne, that people and people got to grab this just for a second. I know it sounds like something out of Star Trek, but I've said it many, many times on my show that the technology that the government possesses is 10 to 15, maybe even 20 years ahead of what we understand and know about today. And if you think about that for a second and talk about, we could talk about 3 or 4 different things like directed energy. We could talk about nanotechnology, hologram technology. Now, all this technology that we know now is just blowing our minds. We see all this stuff coming. In the same mouth, we got to realize that we're dealing with people that have technology that's 15 years ahead of that. All that being said, if we go to an armed confrontation, buddy, we are going to get our butts handed to us so quick, it'll make your head spin. And exactly where they want to go, justify the implementation of the Emergencies Act. In comes the United Nations, they kill us all, boom, and they have the technology to do that. I honestly believe that, guys, and that sounds crazy, but I honestly believe they have the technology right now. They could wipe us all out. I talk about directed energy weapons, frequency weapons, stuff that people just don't even have a clue about. They possess this kind of stuff. Go ahead. And it's crazy. But it's not
at all crazy, and they're counting on a certain percentage of us that are saying no, they're not taking my boomsticks. I will, you know, they come to my house. Well, okay, great, that's what they want. So we go down one at a time, like in a hail of bullets, like the Alamo. What is that going to tell the rest of the population? Oh, I better not do that. I better turn in my junk, right? Yep. So and for those groups, these small 3% groups that think that they can go out and have a commune of 200 or even 500 people and stop this, they cannot. A drone will come in there, and in 15 seconds, it's over. And that just gives them, again, the justification that they need. We've got to leave our firearms. We've got to leave our pitchforks. All we can do is show up in mass with hearts of conviction and faith that if we can collectively come together under one set of demands and force the negotiations. Everything is a negotiation in this world, everything. And that is one of the big things I think that was missing from the convoy in Ottawa last year. Everybody went with a bunch of gripes and bitches and belly aches and moans, but they didn't have a list of demands and negotiations that we would hold the line on. This is what Canadians need, is something to hold the line on, and that's, I believe, is Article 2 and Article 7 of the UNHDR.
We've got to use their agenda against them, buddy, and if they're in black and white, it's something that we can grasp. And, of course, talking about Donald Trump, I've got all the people over in Shake and Wake, all Trumpled and riled up right now because they all, of course, believe that he's 100% globalist. You know, I stand kind of sitting back and watching what's going on in this world right now, and I say to myself, if there wasn't a Donald Trump right now in Washington, what would be happening in this world? If somebody like Hillary Clinton was president of the United States of America right now, would we even have this opportunity? Would we even have this opportunity to be able to speak like we are? And whether Trump is part of the agenda or not, a lot of things tell me that he is. A lot of things tell me that he isn't. I like a lot of things he's done. I like a lot of things that he hasn't. A lot of things he's done I don't like. But I still say right now he's the only beacon of any common sense or anybody that's standing against what we perceive to be the deep state now. If that's all part of an agenda, is that's all part of a planned opposition situation that's been thought out for years and years and years, and he's just a player, I can't answer that question. But I also know that if Hillary Clinton was president of the United States right now, I don't think we'd be having this conversation, period.
We wouldn't. It would already all be over. He's an interrupter, and it would be foolish of us to believe for a second that Trump doesn't answer to somebody. Absolutely, Trump answers to people. But at this moment, at this place and time in history, it's up to us on our own nations to look out, to take care of business, right? This is really where the foundations of our nations and the belief that created them have to surface again. Trump can only play the game as a disruptor of one man against a giant army. Like him or hate him, I'm not a huge Trump fan. A fan of Trump the person. I didn't like him when he came into office, but I have seen him do things that others would not do. I have seen him challenge things that no other politician would do. He is forcing answers and truth that may not be what matters to us 10 years from now, but right now
he defunded the WHO, so that's a first
step. That's a huge step. That's
huge.
Right?
Well, yeah. People that are all against Donald Trump, there's a few things that they should be asking themselves. Maybe is why he's the only country in the world that stood against the World Health Organization, recognizes for what they are, have called them out, have them investigated, and has defunded them. Yet we have other countries in the world that are just pouring money in there. Canada has doubled their allotment to the World Health Organization. Well, that should speak volumes. So I keep asking myself, Donald Trump, is he a player? Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head that anybody gets to his position in the world maybe owes something to somebody. But there's a lot of things that he has done that make absolute sense to me.
When you sit down to play
again. Love him or hate him, I just keep saying to people, what else do you have an option? Joe Biden? Is that going to be the next president of the United States? Are you guys out of your mind? You want to see the country fall apart instantly?
I can't remember what
Steve. In like a matter of weeks? And who's he going to get in for vice president? And he's got dementia, man. He's not going to make it. He might get elected. But who re-picks your vice president is going to step in and fill the role. Who's that going to be? He'll come out of the dead.
He can't remember if he's running for president or Congress.
He doesn't know what state he's in. It's a joke. And this is who they're going to run against, Donald Trump. Well, I don't think so. I think it's a ploy. I think that he'll name a vice president, and that will be who actually becomes president as soon as he gets presidency.
Pocahontas is running now too, right? So we can't take her out of the mix, right?
Pocahontas. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she announced a couple of days ago. But to get back to Trump for just a quick second, when you sit down to play a game of chess, you don't sit down to play to keep all of your pieces. You sit down to play to keep the last piece, knowing that at some point along the game, you will be sacrificing all of your other pieces. Now, this is a very different mindset when you sit down to start that game, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I kind of look at this and I tie it into what I see going on in the world right now with biblical prophecies and what I understand about that. And I look at everything that's going on right now. And, you know, the Bible talks about Gog versus Magog, the ruler of the north fighting the ruler of the south. And I look at what's going on in the United States of America. And, you know, that kind of could be a real possibility in the near future here. You know, it's kind of playing out. I look at lots of other events that are playing out that all kind of point to a certain time, and I'm kind of looking back and going, well, this is a pretty exciting time. It really is.
It's an absolutely scary time. Amazing time in history to be alive. And when it comes to that discussion, I wonder an awful lot about this, and a lot of people are convinced this is prophecies fulfilling, and a lot of what I see that people are taking as prophecies fulfilling, I also see as absolutely within the realm of capabilities with this deep state that we're up against to be smoke and mirrors and Alice in Wonderland. So I question, is this our opportunity before to set things straight for one last time of human enlightenment, or is this actually the end? And the more I dig into this and the more I see what we're up against, the more I think this is exactly what they want us to believe, so we will lay down our swords of truth and just accept that the end times are here. They want us to believe that, and I'm not so convinced yet. I have faith that the man upstairs is bringing us into a time of great peace and enlightenment. This great awakening that is happening is not happening for nothing, and it is happening on a global scale, and it is happening exponentially quicker at this point now than ever in history before. And I really, really think that 2020 is the marker point. It is the year of change. And as much as they're throwing at us, they realize the only way that the deep state that is going to win is if they stop Trump in the next election. That is the hinge point in history. Whether he's the good guy or not, it's a matter of the left versus the right, good versus evil, even good soldiers do horrible things in times of war. So I'm not going to judge anybody at this point yet. That's not my place to do. But I think this is the point, and the election is the weapon.
Yeah, we are definitely at a crossroads right now. I think anybody that's looking at what's going on right now would agree that we are at a crossroads right now, that we can't lose this battle that we're in.
All we got to do is look at what Trump did for 4 years and imagine the next 4 years. What happens if he loses, and what happens if he wins?
Well, right now I don't see, even though I don't, I'm not a Trump, I kind of like I said, I like some of the things he's done, but I'm always standoffish. I always believe that there's an agenda somewhere down the road. But right now what he's doing, I mean, what else choice does America have right now? Do you have another choice? Democrats, look at what they've done in the last 4 years. Look at the unmasking that we're seeing right now, all the names that are being brought forward in acts of high treason, that heads are going to roll in Washington here in the next little while. I honestly believe that. I had information shared with me that absolutely blew my mind, that we better be prepared for social unrest in the United States of America like we've never seen before, due to the unmasking roles of all these government officials in General Flynn. And what Roger Stone is making an unbelievable move right now against the government. I don't know if people are aware of that, how he was treated, how he was houses surrounded by SWAT teams and amphibious forces, and went in for a non-violent warrant on a 62-year-old man. I mean, it's just a joke.
It's,
but it's all coming out right now, guys. So we're going to see, I believe we're going to see some really crazy times here in the next little while. I have no idea exactly where it's going, but I also know that the unmasking, what's coming forward now with all these depositions under oath, that these people that have been telling the American people for 3 or 4 years in a row that they have unbelievable, full proof, absolute proof of Donald Trump's involvement with the Russian to influence the election, are under oath now saying we had nothing.
The Obamagate heads are just starting to roll, and all we got to do,
they're all screwing right now like rats, Wayne, and you can see it.
I know, and it's a thing of beauty. But
it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. But what the result is going to be is also, we're all going yahoo, 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 but we also got to realize that social discourse and social chaos is part of a mandate, that is part of an agenda. So we've got to sit back and look at this from the outside.
When they have no argument, they have only violence left. And look at what happened after Trump won the election he wasn't supposed to win. The chaos that ensued for the next few weeks was astronomical. What are they going to do when their entire party is behind bars?
Well, that's it. What's that going to do to the whole social situation?
is going to come unglued, absolutely, and that's the danger. It could very easily turn into the LA riots. The whole country.
It could. We don't know exactly where it's going, but the repercussions are something that we've got to be aware of. That this would absolutely have catastrophic effect. Could have a catastrophic effect on American society if all of a sudden some of these big names are locked up and handcuffs put on them, which we're all waiting for. But we've got to be prepared that there's also possibly an agenda being played out.
Because that's going to expose the division within all of the law enforcement states, all of the things in between are going to the balancing scale is going to be spinning. It's not going to be balancing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting times. We're down to the last couple of minutes. You guys want to plug your site?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook under Derek Story, and you can find my YouTube channel under Noble Savages.
And What's Up Canada, we're as struggling as we might through Facebook and YouTube, Twitter, and BitChute. As much censorship as they're throwing at us, about 85% of my stuff is hidden, but we are still growing faster than any other mainstream news platform in the nation. So I'm proud of the people for that. Thank you so much.
You're definitely out there. You're definitely out there, Wayne, and it's good to see. Canada needs a lot more people.
We need voices that aren't afraid. And if there's one thing that I hope to do, being an old white-faced guy, is to show people they don't have to be afraid.
Fear is their biggest weapon, guys.
Yep.
Knowledge don't give it to at all. My hearts go out to people in Kamloops. Snowbird crashed in Kamloops today.
I heard that.
Into a house. And actually, I just got the news feed that it hit in a residential area. So there could be a few people involved. That's two in 2 years, guys. And maybe it's time to upgrade our aircraft.
That's a whole other show.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that in, but it just came to me, so I had to pass that on. Hey, guys, it's always a pleasure talking to you two gentlemen, and we're going to have to do this again in the very, very near future. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
God bless.
Okay, we're going to take a break, guys. We're going to take a break here for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, and I'll try and get Billy Joyce in here. Talk to you guys later.
to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
Well, welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to Wayne there. Always enjoy having conversations with those guys. They're a blast. Really trying to make a difference right now in Canada, and I salute what they're doing. I've got Billy Joyce in for my second hour here, and well, I tell you, I've had Billy on I don't know how many times here in the last couple of years. Maybe three or four times I've had Billy on in the last year anyways, and every time I get him on, I really enjoy the conversations we have. Actually got to talk to Billy for about 2 hours yesterday, and I was telling you earlier in the show that we had an international game of poker going here with Billy in Nova Scotia and my buddy in British Columbia and wherever the Poker Stars site is in the world. It was pretty funny. So, welcome to the show, Billy, and I know there's lots on your mind.
Thanks for having me, Barry.
Yeah, a couple things that you want to talk about today. Let's get right into the meat of it, man. I know what's your. Oh, let me start off with your pet peeve of the week, because I always like starting that as a conversation. We all got a couple of those.
I guess my biggest pet peeve seems to. It's got to do with China. It's got to do with how Canada seems to be aligning with communist China and the various conglomerates of nations that exist, like the United Nations, for example, or when it comes to this crisis with coronavirus, this pandemic, you've got Canadian officials and provincial officials pushing the WHO and the Chinese narrative. And now we find out that we're going to be testing Chinese viruses at a Chinese vaccines at a university in Nova Scotia at Dalhousie. And, you know, the virus originates from there. Now we're going to test the vaccine that came from there after they sent us personal protective equipment that was faulty and contaminated. It just defies logic. And then you see another headline where a Chinese company that's pretty much owned by the Chinese Communist Party is buying up gold mines up north.
Yep, I saw that.
You know, and we're funding their coal mines, and they've got drilling rights for our oil, and we process a lot of the fish. Like where fish used to be processed here, it's now processed there by Canadian companies because of the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
How about Chinese-owned mines in British Columbia where only Chinese employees are working? How about that? That's going on right now in British Columbia as we talk, with the grace and praise of our government.
You know, and God forbid if, because we see how hard the United States is pushing against China. Well, what would happen if there was some sort of conflict between China and the United States? Where would we fall on that one? That concerns me.
Well, we know that Trudeau. I mean, we could get into this one for a while because Trudeau is so treasonous as far as his acts against the Canadian people with his involvement in communist China, and we could talk about multiple blatant acts of treason that this man has done against Canada. Billy, how else do you call it? You know, he's pushing us to a dictatorship. If we're not already there in a full-blown dictatorship right now, that's the end game, of course. We look at what's going on in Canada as far as our surveillance states. We look at what he's doing with situations like the mine that he just sold to China, how he's selling our intelligence out to the Chinese, how they're getting involved in just about every aspect of what's going on in this country. They control our politicians, and he's just opening the door wide open. And boy, I'll tell you, it drives me absolutely insane. Insane what I see going on. Why aren't Canadians addressing this, really?
I'm not sure. And what I find interesting is why isn't the military? Because you saw the articles that came out, and when Poiliev questioned Chrystia Freeland on the question of military intelligence warning the government about the virus coming out of Wuhan, and they ignored it. So we ignore our own military and instead push the narrative and accept the quote-unquote facts being pushed by the Chinese Communist Party and the World Health Organization that's led by a man that's accused of crimes against humanity and I forget which country it is, but Nigeria. He was a minister within the government, and what he's accused of is allowing Ebola to run rampant in that country without taking the necessary measures to counter it and to keep his people safe.
And he went from being accused of war crimes 2 years later to being the head of the World Health Organization. How does that happen?
And while he was minister, he racked up in 1 year $200 million in travel expenses. So that's hotels, limousines, meals, entertainment. $200 million.
And talking this about is uppers and below, eh?
Yeah, and this is.
Excuse me for saying that, but $200 million. How do you spend that, man?
Well, from what I understand, it was every weekend, and it was the best suite in the best hotel wherever he traveled. So that'll add up if you know what I mean. You do that every weekend, and if you're eating, you know, $200-$300 lunches because you're drinking a bottle of wine with your lunch, you know, or $500 lunch or $600 lunch or $1,000 supper, it'll add up quick.
Yeah, but $200 million in 1 year. Well, the fact is that the gentleman that's running the World Health Organization, what's his name, Dr. I can't pronounce his name, Billy. But he doesn't actually own a doctor's certificate anywhere in the world. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, he's not a doctor. I've read the same thing.
I looked at three reports, and I wanted to make sure that I was correct when I said that. And then I talked to Roger about that one. He said, you're absolutely correct, Greg, because he actually looked into it himself, too.
I think he's a doctor, but not a doctor of medicine. You know how someone can obtain a doctorate in any field, and then you become a doctor in that field?
Yeah, so you could call a chiropractor a doctor, but he's not really a doctor. He's a doctor in a field.
Right.
Specialist in one field. Exactly. So anyways, he is running the World Health Organization. It's funny how this thing unfolded. You know, we started hearing about a pandemic all of a sudden in China that was killing apparently thousands of people. They were dropping in the streets. You've seen videos popping up online of people dropping dead all over the place. And then all of a sudden, the World Health Organization comes out and declares it a worldwide pandemic, and everybody runs for the living room. And our government's just unbelievable how involved Trudeau is with the World Health Organization and the Chinese Communist Party. And it's so obvious, buddy. Why can't Canadians see that? That's called treason.
Well, and when you look at how this virus unfolded and the whole lockdown and social distancing and everything else, it went from flatten the curve to find the cure before we can leave our houses. It went from social distancing to stay at home until we say you can come out. It went from weeks to we don't know how many months.
Well, look what they're doing now, Billy. They're going to extend it. And now they're talking about the second curve. Well, they're already conditioning us.
You know, from we're in it together to snitch on your neighbors, from liberty to comply or be fined and go to jail.
Yeah. Next will be the mandatory vaccine, or you're not going to be able to function in society.
You know,
got them talking about wristbands, and we're talking about the Bank of Canada now is talking big time about digital currency going completely cashless. They just made a big announcement about that this week. It's all playing into the exact same agenda, really. And they're ramping it up at light speed, man. Can't even keep up with what they're doing. Go ahead.
Well, they're ramping it up. That Dr. Buttar that I covered in one of my most recent videos.
Yeah, he's awesome, man.
He's former military.
Yeah.
And he said that 20 years ago, he predicted that there may very well be another revolution on North American soil. He said possibly even in America, if ever, and it might be over vaccines. But he thought it would be over vaccines, the excessive vaccines we give to kids already. He says that if ever it was announced that mandatory vaccines were necessary to say let's say obtain a license or I don't know, get a subway pass or be allowed to go to a restaurant, etc. I think if it came to that, because I'm seeing people comment on this stuff that are hardcore liberal that are saying never in a million years, how dare they even suggest it? You know what I mean?
That's what you're hearing out of the Liberal government right now, big time.
the liberal government's against it? Or you mean they want mandatory?
No, they're talking about mandatory vaccines for children now, for kids.
What should concern people is that the none of the other parties are really speaking out against it.
Exactly. Where's the opposition? Where's the voice of the Canadian people? Because like you said, Billy, if you talk to Canadian people, if we did a survey across the country now about this very issue, there'd be, you know, millions of people speaking against it.
But yes.
We don't hear that voice anywhere in Parliament.
Ipsos did I think it's Ipsos or Ipsos, or I forget what the name of it is, but they do surveys and polls, and you'd be shocked, Barry, because 72% would agree, either somewhat agree or strongly agree with mandatory vaccines. 72%. So only 28% oppose them.
Who put that poll out?
Ipsos, Ipsos, Ispos.
Okay, well, it's something I have to look at. But you know, anybody I talk to wouldn't even think about a mandatory vaccine. Wouldn't even think about it. That's called medical tyranny, Billy. If we get to that point, what's next?
Global News reported on that on May 13th. 72% of Canadians support mandatory coronavirus vaccine. More than two thirds. I got the survey in front of me. The question was,
I'll have to reserve thought on that. Coming from Global, I wouldn't trust anything coming from any mainstream media, period, Billy. I mean, they fudge the numbers on polls all the time. We see.
I agree with you. I'm just, because the common Canadian won't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I agree with you. That still a majority of Canadians still go home and drink the Kool-Aid every night, watch CBC or CTV or Global, and accept that as what's going on in the world. So we're trying to break that paradigm. That's one of the biggest enemies we have is media. I mean, anywhere in history where a government's been taken over, a country's been taken over, it's always because the government has taken control of the media, and that's exactly what's happened in Canada. Mainstream gives us none of the truth, period.
Well, that's what that Ipsos poll conducted. 41% strongly support mandatory vaccines, 32% somewhat support, 11% strongly oppose, and 17% somewhat oppose. Plus or minus 3.5%.
Well, that'd have to be a battle we'd have to fight, eh, Billy? To get these people educated what the implications are of medical tyranny. That when a government can dictate to you what you have to put into your body to continue to function in society, if people can't see the dangers of that and where they're going with this, then we do have a monumental struggle on our hands. But we seem to be up against a lot of programming that has been put into people for many, many years, and to break the paradigm is a pretty tough task, but I got to believe that we're making headway, Billy, because I do see people now, like I said, engaging in conversations with me that never engaged in those kind of conversations in the past. So hopefully,
we're
waking people up.
Oh, yeah, there's a glimmer of light, but at the same time, every time you see someone wake up, you see the government push even a little further. And I guess my biggest fear in Canada is we almost have to rely on the political parties to change anything because they're the only ones that can affect policy. Correct? You'd agree with me there, right?
Yeah. But so we're banging our heads against the wall.
Well, what I'm trying to get the Canadians is we need to. I was told to watch my language, so I gotta be careful how I word this. Yeah. We need to pull our heads out of the sand.
Okay, that's a good one. Yep.
We need to pull our heads out of the sand and realize that we're headed into totalitarianism. I don't know how to explain it. I kind of lost my train of thought there, trying to not cuss.
Well, you're doing good, Billy. I mean, we all have a little slip up once in a while. I've actually been told I've gone a year now without a slip up.
Oh, I know what I was getting at. So we've only got the political parties that can really affect change. So people that vote conservative really think that they're going to bring conservative ideals forward. So Doug Ford look at the two latest examples of, oh, wow, these guys are real conservatives. They're going to change things. Ontario and Alberta, Jason Kenney and Doug Ford.
Yeah, right.
So Jason Kenney, he's been photographed kissing the hand of the Aga Khan. Doug Ford is certainly not his brother Rob. There's a stark difference between the two men. And Doug has never really impressed me. He's always given me the impression of being superficial. Anyway, did you see what happened in Ontario with this couple that were exercising their right? They were basically on a hunger strike, protesting the government in general.
And they got pulled out of their houses and taken away.
The police showed up with someone from the hospital. The worker from the hospital was wearing a bulletproof vest. Three police officers went in. The couple had a German Shepherd. Now, I had a German Shepherd, and if police came into my house when my German Shepherd was alive and were threatening to pull me out to take me to the hospital to get a psychiatric evaluation because I was exercising my right to protest the government, I think my dog might have picked up on my, you know, my bad mood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but in this video, this 20-minute video that's out there, this dog is perfectly calm. The couple remains perfectly calm. And they pretty much, they were forced to go. He was lifted right off his couch. And this is in Ontario, the provincial police, and Doug Ford is at the helm. He's a conservative. Yeah.
He's a snake.
Sure, but if a conservative premier is willing to do that, and you got Brian Mulroney's daughter, I believe she's in his cabinet, what's she saying? I haven't heard any politicians speak out against this.
Yeah, I know. Billy, that really kind of tells you exactly how much trouble the country's in when this kind of stuff is starting to show its face in our society. And it's only going to get better, man. We give them an inch, they're taking a mile, Billy. And this absolutely shocked me when I read that. What's it going to take for people to realize that they had no right, none, to do that? That's setting an example for the public. There again, they're sparking that fear virus in the public. Wow, look what happened. Look what happened to those two people. We better really stay in line here, Harry, because we don't want them coming picking you up. Well, we got to put a stop to it, Billy. We got to. Biggest question I get from people, that's the question I get every day from people. People tell me, you know, they know something nefarious is going on in the government. They know it's messed up, but they don't have a clue how to go about making change. That's what we really got to kind of get to people. There is ways that we can make a big change. Let's talk about a few of those, man.
Well, there's this event that's supposed to go on July 1st, but I can't see all the travel bans between provinces being lifted before then. So I'm not really sure. I mean, with everybody locked up, and the problem is in Canada, like, people see what's going on in France. Now, in France, I'm not sure what the population is there, but I think it's in the tens of millions. Let me just do a little search here, and I should be able to find that real quick. But you see how they've got the yellow vest movements, and people are mobilizing to protest, you know, government overreach. And the problem in Canada is we're so spread out. There you go. France has 67 million people.
Right.
In an area that's probably,
size of Quebec.
I don't think.
Maybe not even size of Quebec. I haven't done a side-by-side comparison, but it's a very small country.
It's about half the size of Manitoba is what it is.
Okay. Well, there you go. But it just goes to show you. I mean, if you know, I say to people, if they really want to know what's coming to Canada in the next 3 or 4 years, all you have to do is look at Europe and look at the examples being set in Europe right now. It's absolutely mind-blowing what's going on over there. But you don't hear about much of that on mainstream media, really, if anything at all.
See, the thing is, if you've got a population of 67 million, let's say 10% of the population is awake to what's going on. Well, in a land area that's half the size of Manitoba, those 6.5 million people
would be quite a formidable force, wouldn't they?
Could mobilize rather quickly.
But, well, we've seen demonstrations in the world where there's two million people on the streets.
Right.
Now.
But to get that in Canada, because you'll only have such a small percentage of people that will be ready, willing, and able to go to such a thing in fear of being arrested. A lot of people would refuse to go because they don't want to get arrested, and it's legit. You know, not everyone is willing to take that risk.
Yeah, and of course, if anything like that was going to happen in Canada, it would have to happen in the two population centers of the country. and those are such controlled liberal areas of the country to get something got to happen there with that population, which basically runs the rest of the country. I mean, the rest of the country has no say in what goes on in this country. Montreal and Toronto control everything, and it's been that way for a while.
Well, imagine if you had 10%. Imagine if you had 10% of Canadians, which would be what, 3.5 million people, approximately. If you got 3.5 million people on Parliament Hill, you could affect change. 3.5 million people, quote unquote, storming Parliament Hill, you could affect change. You definitely get politicians' attention, and the military wouldn't dare touch it. You're 3.5 million upset Canadians. Good luck.
Yeah, but you know, geography fights us in that issue. Right. We are such a big country, and they're so spread out.
And you know,
I am. I'm up here in northern British Columbia, way away from the population centers. I'd love to be going to some of these demonstrations, but not feasible for me. And I would love to be in Toronto. That one yesterday in Toronto was big, man. It was getting bigger and bigger all the time, these demonstrations. We see more and more people coming out.
I haven't heard of these demonstrations in Toronto. I'd like to know more about that.
Oh, well, Free the North, Toronto's. It was Toronto's biggest anti-lockdown demonstration so far.
Oh, there you go.
I could give you the information on it, but that happened yesterday. And there's quite a few videos out there about it. I mean, we're not getting huge population coming out, huge numbers for a city the size of Toronto, but I think you're going to see a change in that, Billy. I really do hope that Canadians can start to really wake up to the danger here. We're doing everything that we can. I mean, you're doing great podcasts. You're bringing information forward. The information that you're bringing forward in your podcast, that information combined with what other people are doing right now in Canada, there's no excuse for us not to be fully awake at the danger that's coming. People have no excuse. So really, it's just kind of wondering why more and more people aren't getting involved. But in the same mold, I said, I've seen positive change. So we'll just try and ramp it up.
Well, I know one thing that I've concluded over the past little while is people really need to turn back to God, because without prayer, and I'm being completely sincere there, without prayer, we don't have a chance.
Amen. I wouldn't argue with that at all. We're seeing a spiritual battle in this world right now like we've never seen before in human history, man. I mean, we know, you know, and I know, and anybody that's paying attention to what the devil's doing on this planet right now, he's having a heyday right now. He's just running wild, man. But that's talked about in Revelation, Billy, that this was going to happen in this particular period of time. We also were told that we're going to see a great spiritual revival, and I believe we're seeing that start to happen right now. It's a fight of good against evil, and it's wrapping up. Yes, no?
Well, I'm hoping it is. I guess all I can do is wait and see. And in the meantime, just expose as much evil as you can. I mean, I know that this QAnon guy, I've been skeptical of him over the last year. And then recently, there have been some weird things go on. I mean, you got some of those Anons that follow Q that asked for Q+. To tweet, and of course they think Q+ is Donald Trump, to tweet Obamagate, and he did that. Then they asked him to tweet, it's happening, and he tweeted, it's happening, comma, safely. And then there was the whole, that Easter egg roll in 2018, the saying that Q has, follow the white rabbit, and Trump shows up outside with Melania, Melania, and a white rabbit,
I saw that.
And they had asked him to somehow mention tippy top.
I saw that too, Billy.
You know, and he says, we like to keep the White House in tip top shape. Some call it tippy top. I was like, you buffoon. You know, it's like when he had this, it's like this whole idea that he uses 17 a lot in his conferences, like when he's reporting on stuff, he'll use 17. Like it seems 17 is one of his good numbers. So the other day, like he's just hilarious and people don't pick up on his sarcasm and his humor. And they're certainly not picking up on this Q stuff but for those of us who are familiar with it, you hear him say stuff and you're like, you do a double check. Cause the other day, what was it that he unveiled? He unveiled the flag for the new Space Force. Which looks a lot like a Star Trek ripoff, Yeah, have you seen the flag?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw him unrolling it and big ceremony, right.
And then they spoke of this missile that he called the Super Duper.
Super Duper. The president calls a missile a Super Duper. We got a Super Duper missile, man.
He literally called it the Super Duper missile.
Yeah, I know. I heard that. I was going, what?
And then he says, it's 17 times faster than what we have now. He's like, Russia. He says, Russia, they're at 3 times the speed. China's at 5 times the speed. We're at 17 times the speed.
I wouldn't buy that for a split second because China's got huge advances in hypersonic missiles. And I think they've got the United States a little bit scared right now myself, really.
Well, I'm sure the number is certainly not 17. So why is he using the number 17 when Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet, right?
How can you go check it out? You know, how can you go check out his information? You can't. But yeah, it's kind of a coincidence, isn't it?
Well, and that's just it. And how many coincidences before you say it's not coincidence anymore?
Yeah, I know we've been saying that for a while, Billy. We've got to do a show one of these days called Truth and Coincidences because our society seems to be full of coincidences when it's anything to do with government or a so-called conspiracy theories. You know when that name came forward? 1963, Billy, and I looked into this, eh? I didn't know that before, but the word conspiracy theorist never existed in our society.
The CIA.
CIA in 1963. So I learned something new here in the last couple of weeks, and of course it makes sense because they wanted to quash anybody that was talking against the government narrative on the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
You got it.
I know. So yeah, there you go. You can actually teach an old dog new tricks. I'm living proof of that. It seems like every day is a learning experience now. We're getting bombarded with information about so much stuff going on in our world. It's really... Really, if you kind of try and I find myself, I can't focus on it all. I've got to be selective about what I focus on because there really seems to be a cascade of information coming from all different places in the world about nefarious going ons. It seems to be wrapping up. Well, am Barry, I really seeing that, or are you seeing that too, Billy?
Barry, I'll tell you what. I think maybe in 75 years' time, I'm hoping sooner, but I'm guessing in 75 years' time or so, when it's all declassified, I think we're going to find out that the most recent shooting here in Nova Scotia, the biggest mass shooting in Canadian history, that there was something nefarious going on there as well. The official story that they gave at press conferences have holes in it. It just makes absolutely no sense, the official storyline that they're going with. The idea that... and God rest her soul, you know what I mean? And thank you for her service, and my heart goes out to her family. But when you actually go to Google Maps, and I mean, a very good friend of mine actually drove out to that scene, and he agrees with me that there's no way that she rammed him. He had to have rammed her where that accident took place, where the two cars collided and where they were burnt. So yep. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, they even said in their official press conference that he had pants on that had a yellow stripe, but yet the footage showing him getting out of the car and changing his jacket, there's no yellow stripe on his pants.
There's so many questions. I started looking into this myself, Billy. What about the cops shooting into the fire station? What's all about?
Two cops
shooting. And you know, we got somebody sitting in the audience right now, and I've talked about Jason out in Nova Scotia, and a few things he's told me about this. The whole thing, yes, stinks, Billy. But let's talk about false flags and how they're used in society. We know that we're dealing with people that the death of human beings means nothing. Okay, 9/11 was a perfect example of that. Whatever it takes to propagate the agenda or to continue with the agenda, they're willing to do. You think that they're not willing to kill, say, 20 people, make it the biggest mass killing, support this. I mean, this guy, there's so much stinks about it, Billy. It all, to me, everything I've read so far and understand, it's a false flag. that absolutely had the effect to get people crying in their hearts. And what, 5 days later, Trudeau comes out with his announcement of his ban on 1,500 different guns in Canada, and people can't see what's going on in front of their faces?
Well, Barry, unbelievable. The thing is, like, as Christians, we have a tendency to understand that there's a good and there's an evil, that there are very dark forces that can affect humanity, correct?
We know that.
So when you look at what's going on with these false flags, oftentimes what's behind it, like, for example, you'll see many times where people are being interviewed after a mass shooting, and you'll see someone wearing a hat with a Freemason symbol on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a lot of these secret societies that exist, like the Skull and Bones, the Freemasons, mm-hmm. even the Knights of Columbus, they have certain rituals and they have certain doctrines within their teachings that date all the way back to the Babylonian era. Right. And to what we call, as Christians, what we call pagan worship.
Right.
So pagan worship required sacrifice. And in some cases, it required animal sacrifice. And in other cases, human sacrifice. And in some cases, both. So what happened is, with the secularization of society and less people believing in God, they think that good and evil is something that Hollywood presents to us, that's fiction, and that we create our own good and evil in our heads, and that everything goes, and as long, this is where this liberalism and secularism and all this stuff comes from.
Right.
So because people have departed from the foundation, you know, you're supposed to build your house on the rock, and the rock, the chief cornerstone, is Jesus. Well, I would say a lot of Canadians right now, their chief cornerstone is not Jesus. It's money. It's entertainment. It's the world. It's music. It's, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's something that makes them, it's all about feelings now. It's not about what's right and wrong.
But we see that all over the world, Billy, not just in Canada. Everywhere.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. But when we think of these false flags, a lot of people can't wrap their heads around the thought of purposely killing people.
Well, you know what I say to that, Billy? The biggest
for a darker.
I say to people, the biggest wake-up question I have, you have to put a question to people that on 9/11, if anybody has ever looked at, even honestly, if you've looked at a half an hour of information on what happened that day, and look at it with an open mind, you will absolutely come to the conclusion that that was perpetrated by their government. So we have to ask ourselves, if they're willing to kill 3,000 people to perpetrate an agenda, a false flag here, a false flag there. I've looked at Sandy Hook in great detail, and we don't have time to talk about that today. But to say there isn't something weird about that one, Billy, it seems like every one of these events that happen in our society that are meant to form opinion and to hit people in the heart always stink. And it doesn't matter which one we talk about, they all stink. So what's happening? The numbers to them, the amount of people they kill, I don't think it means anything to them if they kill 3,000 or 30,000 or 3 million people. It's all in their playbooks. That's kind of the way I see that. What do you think?
Well, and if you listen to what Dr. Buttar is saying, he's saying that their plan is basically to carry out what the Georgia Guidestones has laid out.
500 million.
Which would mean the eradication of 7 billion people, or 6 billion people or so.
Boy, there's going to have to be some people digging graves, aren't there, Billy? Man, that's most of us gone. And, they have, the scary thing is, I believe, they possess technology right now that would literally make that possible. And that's a scary thought, but I honestly believe they have it. It's just a matter of when they're going to roll it out. So that's what we're up against. I agree with you.
Insanity. Well, they've got technology, and they've probably got the chemistry, you know, like they probably got the biological weapons that would frighten us to death. You know, like if we knew some of the stuff they had, we probably couldn't sleep at night.
Well, my friend Roger told me that they have stuff that could wipe out the whole world, and I believe it. So I don't worry about that, because if they do it, there's nothing I can do about it. But I believe they have stuff that we have no idea, I mean, they're maniacs. Remember that. They're psychopaths. And they have their underground bunkers, and they're ready. Maybe they got a place up in the moon. Who knows? A lot of money seems missing out of governments.
Barry, I've come to accept that it's either we're heading into the period known in the Bible as the tribulation, or Donald Trump is really doing what this QAnon person is telling us he's been doing for the last 2 years. Mm. I even read an article the other day, or someone, I forget where it was that I read that, someone alluded to the fact that Trudeau might very well be under house arrest.
Yeah, and there's also many reports about international tribunals that have got his name in tied in with Epstein and all these other pedophiles that are running our society. His name is right in there, buddy. And I believe that.
Yeah, and apparently that the scandal at West Point, that school that he taught at, apparently there's a lot of dirt there that could come out. Gerald Butts, someone associated, there's a online newspaper. Like, I don't know if they circulate a paper newspaper of this in Buffalo, but in Buffalo, it's based out of Buffalo, New York. It's called the Buffalo Chronicles.
Yeah,
and they're actually White House accredited. And they've got some pretty snapping articles about Justin Trudeau. They have an article in there about Justin Trudeau's personal associate, Gerald Butts, thinking that Justin Trudeau is being extorted by First Nations chiefs who have information on what he did at that private school.
Yeah, there doesn't matter what you look at in Justin Trudeau's background. It's all dirt.
Oh, it's bad. I mean,
it's beyond that. But, you know, he was, right from the time he was born, he was groomed for the position that he's in today, that he was meant to be a drama teacher so he can stand up there in front of a microphone and speak to Canadians in a voice that actually has people almost transfixed. I watched that man stand up in front of the microphone. And Billy, honest to God, I have a hard time making myself listen to him talk. I get a violent, ill reaction, but I want to know what he's saying. So I listen to him in his little speeches to the sheeple every morning. And it's just absolute ludicrous that people can sit there and listen to this guy and believe anything that he's saying. But, of course, you and me, we see through the smoke and mirrors. We know what this man's all about, that he's hell-bent on destroying Canada. There is. Well, I ask people one thing. Just show me one thing, Billy, that he's done good for Canada since he has taken the reins of this country. Show me one thing.
They legalized pot.
Yeah, they've messed that up. So the government's the only people they can get in the world in drug dealing and lose money.
I agree.
They're losing billions on it. So,
well, in Nova
Scotia, great idea, Justin.
In Nova Scotia, they went in debt. Like, NSLC went in debt. They lost money on pot. How do you lose money on pot?
Well, exactly. Well, when people were going, yeah, Justin's going to legalize it. I was going,
they should have.
Wait a second. Whoa, wait. Tell me one thing the government has touched in the last 10 years that hasn't turned to poop. Show me one thing. Okay, well, you think that the same thing is going to go on with cannabis? We look at the new laws now that they basically have turned the police into judge, jury, and executioner on the side of the road. That's what we're dealing with. People think this is a good thing. We've got 47 laws now that can put us in jail as opposed to 7 prior to Justin legalizing pot. And you think it's a good thing, folks? They don't get it, Billy. They don't get it. I've looked into it. It's absolutely ludicrous. And, of course, they're losing money at it, but they weren't good at anything the government does. They lose money at. So what do you expect?
They should have just made it legal across the board. Legalize marijuana and all its derivatives. Period.
Nobody has the right to put a label on this plant. Nobody has the right to control it, Billy. And that's what I keep telling people, that we should be free to use it. If we look at the history of the planet, that cannabis has been used for thousands of years. It's one of the most incredible plants in the world. It represents to them a threat to everything that they are doing in society. Their cottons, their coal, I mean, what they're doing to produce power, what they're doing to produce our fabrics, what they're doing to produce our medicines can all be eliminated by cannabis. They don't want that in our society. We saw it demonized, and now we're seeing people wake up to it, Billy.
Well, where I live... on the island where I live, there's this plant that grows here wild. It's called Angelica.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Purple-stemmed Angelica. And when I first found it, I looked it up, And it looks very similar to giant hogweed. Now, giant hogweed is poisonous. If you were to cut a branch of giant hogweed and get the sap on your skin, it would burn. But this Angelica doesn't do that. So I was looking into possibly starting a business because you can actually eat the stuff and it's good for you. And the roots have medicinal properties. And the natives and the Acadians here, the Métis, knew how to use this to cure certain ailments. So I got the Nova Scotia Agricultural College here. And they came down and they looked at it. They were like, oh, no, we can't touch that. That's giant hogweed. I was like, what do you mean? They're like, oh, if we get the sap from that on our skin, that's it. We're done. That's going to burn. That, you can't touch that. I was like, listen, I just cleared half a field with a whippersnipper, with a high-powered whippersnipper, and I was covered in it, and I don't have anything on me. I was like, so this stuff is what you call purple-stemmed angelica. Some call it the root of the Holy Ghost. Because the root of it is such a good, like, it cleanses the system. It's just a good, it's good to drink in tea. It's good to, you know what I mean? You can cut it up and eat it.
Yep.
The branches of the plant itself can be a substitute for celery. You can do what's called candied angelica with sugar, and you bake it in the oven, and it's like a sweet treat once in a while. So it's something that was really good. Anyway, I wanted to start a business. And I wanted them to confirm that it was purple stemmed angelica. So I showed them the three different. They grow in 3 year cycles. So your first year plant is going to be smaller than your second. The second year plant smaller than your third year plant. So anyway, I gave them a sample of each one. They called their boss at the agricultural college. They described to their boss what they had. The boss says, you guys are mistaken. That's giant hogweed. You got to wash yourselves immediately, because they had him on speaker. And then they say, no. Literally, this stuff is not. It looks like this purple-stemmed angelica that our buddy's talking about, this Billy Joyce is speaking of. So anyway, he says, take it to the lab and tell Mr. Joyce we'll be in touch with him. Mm-hmm. And I never heard from them again. Because they're associated to Dalhousie University. Dalhousie University is one of the places where they develop vaccines and they develop pharmaceutical drugs. You know what I mean? Pharmacists, you want to become a pharmacist or a doctor, you go to Dalhousie University. Right, so if you've got these big pharma companies funding your university to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars a year, are you really going to help a guy harvest purple-stemmed angelica? That's the miracle cure for 3 or 4 or 5 different diseases?
Well, Billy, you're getting into a rabbit hole that's so deep, and we could literally do a 2-hour talk just on the subject that you're talking about right now, because it doesn't matter if you're talking about what you're talking about, but anything that's natural that's going to help the human body. They will do everything they can to stop us access and stop us being educated about it. There's a book out there that I tell everybody they got to go get, Billy, and it's called The Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. You go to your bookstore and get this book, man, because everything that goes wrong in your body, it will tell you the natural cure. And a lot of these natural cures are available right in your backyard or available to you through health food stores that will have a monumental effect on your disorder. I've used it multiple times now, Billy, and one of the examples I've talked about people is last year I tore my ACL in the bush. I did that picking morels, and I went and saw a surgeon, saw doctors, blah, blah, blah. They told me the only way my knee would ever be healed is by surgery. And I went to my book. My book told me to wrap my knee with stinging nettle and comfrey. Well, lo and behold, I did that for 6 weeks, Billy, and my knee completely naturally healed.
Go figure.
You know, you know what? I showed, you know what really was the best part of this whole story is I played hockey with a doctor this year. And I showed him my MRI from, I think it was June, when I tore my knee. And I had a complete tear, blah, 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 and a partial tear of the ligament. And then I showed him my MRI from October. And it shows a complete ACL. No tears, nothing irregular in my ACL at all. Completely healed. And I did it naturally. Everything that in the human body, I honestly believe that everything in the human body, there's a natural cure for it. But we have been led away from that so much in today's society because it's all about money. It's about big farming. It's about putting analyticals in your body. It's about feeding you with prescription drugs until you're no longer a good service to society and eventually you die. But back point, they suck millions of dollars out of your pocket. You know, it's just a scam, and anything to do with nuptials, they're trying to quash. But the good news is that I see so many people now getting involved in spreading the word about naturals that they're not going to be able to keep it down forever. What you're talking about is just an example of that, Billy.
What did you say you wrapped your knee with?
Stinging nettle. Okay, it grows in my bush here. It grows all over the north here. It's a tiny little plant. I can't describe it to you, but you can go on the internet and Google it. It's got tiny little pricklies in the side. When you wrap it on your knee, when you put it on your knee, when I was doing my knee, for about 10 seconds, I felt the little pricklies, right? But then I also wrapped it with a herb called comfrey. You want to Google that one on the internet. These are two herbs that the natives in North America here, up in this country, used all through their history to heal breaks in bones. And that's a fact. They didn't have the technology to reset the bone, but if they broke a bone, they would wrap it with stinging nettle and comfrey. They gave it a nickname called Nipbone. Wonder why. It's amazing, Billy, and that's just one example. But society is so indoctrinated into the medical profession that, you know, I grew up worshiping my doctor. I thought he was God's answer to everything. And you know, we've learned over the years that that's not true, that they're the biggest hypocrites in the world, that you go into the doctor's office, he gives a prescription drug. We know every prescription drug in the world contains analyticals. They store in your body. We know that drug interaction now, I believe, is the third biggest killer of people in North America. Well, you don't hear about that. It's like vaccines are considered to be safe and effective, but they don't tell you about the Vaccine Industry Compensation Board that's paying out billions of dollars in settlements with gag orders. You know, the system is so rigged, and we're fighting an uphill battle, but I'm seeing people starting to pay attention to naturals more and more, Billy. The more we talk about it, the more chaga. I could get talking about chaga for, and, you know, I've been drinking chaga now for years, and my body feels great. It really does. At 65 this year, I was kicking out pucks hard, and I got to attribute it to chaga because it made an incredible difference in my body. And it's one that everybody can get into doing. The more you do that, the more you're not going to be going to the doctor's office. People are starting to listen, Billy.
Yeah, and isn't it ironic that during this shutdown, naturopaths were shut down, but regular doctor's offices weren't?
Isn't that amazing, eh? It's just like churches being shut down and mosques allowed to put the call to prayer on their loudspeakers and blare it out in public. What's going on in our country, Billy? That doesn't alarm people and show the agenda of what's going on in this country. I don't know. If that doesn't rally the troops, I don't know, Billy. I don't know.
I watched the documentary this morning on a World War II sniper squadron. I forget what they were called. They were based out of Montreal, the Black something. Anyway, it was kind of showing what it was that they went to war for. They went to war because the people in Europe were under siege by a totalitarian dictator who was slowly taking away the right to live of certain people based on just who they were.
Okay. What do we see in Canada today?
Well, that's exactly what's happening today. That's exactly what's happening in Canada today. And the people that are being persecuted for who they are people that have the old school, traditional Christian beliefs and worldview.
Well, of course, it's part of the agenda. We are under attack, Billy. We have to be eliminated for them to perpetrate their agenda. And we see it in steroids right now, period. We look all around the world, we see the same thing happening, Billy. Doesn't matter where you look, you see the same agenda. Just some countries are ahead of us a little bit.
What kills me is oftentimes it's the children of those World War II veterans, the first generation of teachers, lawyers, you know, from the small towns that went off to university. A lot of the times it was the veterans' kids because the veterans ended up with a great pension for the time they served in those days. So they could afford to send their kids away to school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they get sent away to school only to be brainwashed to believe that our country was horrible and that it should be replaced and that our identity as a European-based country is not worth preserving. And I just find that sad. And that's why it angers me so much sometimes, and that's why I cuss at times is – It angers me so much.
Well, you've done very good today, Billy, and I feel the same way, that we're all feeling the anger and we're all feeling the frustration of inability to have our voices heard in this country. We see what's going on. We realize the implications for the future, and it breaks our hearts. We realize what's coming for our children. But there is mechanisms in place right now that are going to give us an opportunity, I believe, to fight back against this. That's what we really got to focus on. We've got to focus on setting aside any small differences that we have and really focusing on the enemy, because we could lose it all. And, you know, the end result of that, folks, I don't even want to go there. We're talking about a horror story in real life. And if that doesn't shock people, I don't know, Billy. The information's out there. It really doesn't take any of your time to really sit down on your computer and spend a couple hours and really kind of look into some of the things that we've talked about today. And honest to God, you're going to fall off your chair if you aren't awake. You really haven't come out of the matrix and you're still in that paradigm. And you sit down and look at some of this stuff that we talk about and I actually believe that it's real, then you're going to be in for a shock. The best thing you can do is watch 9/11 Architecture Truth, because those people are the same people that are perpetrating everything in our society that we see today. It's the same group of people, period. We're down to the last couple of minutes, Billy. I'm going to let you speak for a minute about your shows and what you got coming up, and about maybe a possible quick election coming up in Canada. Quick couple thoughts. We're going to have to shut out the show. As always, it's a pleasure having you in.
As far as my show goes, I'm just going to do what I keep doing on YouTube. I do, whenever I've got time, I do YouTube. I'm busy with the radio station. On YouTube, it's www.youtube.com/C/Billy Joyce. You can follow me on Twitter. It's Billy Joyce 1976, capital B, capital J. On Facebook, you can look for me there. It's Billy Joyce. I just kind of wanted to expand on what you were saying there, Barry, about this totalitarian taking away our rights. YouTube just completely demonetized my channel. No more super chats, no more way of making any kind of money with YouTube at all, unless I delete videos on my channel that YouTube deems to be harmful to viewers. So I don't know what that means. And then you've got people like Sergeant Report having their channels removed from YouTube completely. And I don't know if people know of book burning, and how back in the day when they wanted to control the narrative, they used to burn books that were deemed to be against the government or anti-government. And now today, well, what they're doing is it's a form of burning books. So you've got the police coming into our houses to drag us off for psychiatric evaluations. You've got freedom of speech being attacked. You've got an attack outright on the traditional family. You've got an attack on our values. They're coming after our guns. They're coming after our only means of defending ourselves against any kind of tyranny. And basically it's do as I say, not as I do.
Billy, so, we could go for another hour right now just on what you just talked about. Billy, we're going to have to do this again, buddy. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Okay,
no problem, sir.
We're down to the last minute here, but we're going to continue this conversation in the very near future, because we're in communism in steroids right now, and we've got to get people aware of it. They've got to be able to take a stand now, or we could lose it, folks. And the end result is something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Thanks for joining me, Billy. Always a pleasure.
Take care, Barry. God bless you.
Okay, folks, that's show for this week. Got to thank you for joining me. Thanks again to my producer, Steve Roberts, for producing my show. Thanks for people that have joined in and listened to what we had to say today. It's always fun sharing thoughts and our emotions and our feelings about what we see going on. And maybe we've inspired a few of you to get involved today. It's if ever there was a time in human history that we have to, I would say this is that time. I'll be back next week. I got Alex Newman coming in next week. I'm looking forward to that. And I'll be back next week, same time, same place. You guys all have a great week, and bye for now. God bless you, and have a great week.
listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.